Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
Tonight, I want to talk to you. We're going to take... There's going to be 5 points. They're going to be numbered 1 through 5. It's going to be perfect. How many concrete thinkers do I have in here tonight? What is Chris? Is he a concrete thinker? Molly's not. Okay, but for the concrete thinkers, you're going to get 5 distinct points. It's going to be awesome, okay? You're going to leave here feeling enriched, like something great happened, okay? And I'm following the notes to the T, all right? But we're going to break negative mindsets tonight. We're going to break things down tonight and honestly shatter the things that go on in our heads that keep us from really living the greatest life known to mankind. Man, the greatest, and it's going to help you with your physical health, your emotional well-being. Yeah, I believe you're going to get strong financially because of this message. You know, really, honestly, we have what we say. We're coming into the nightmare. Let's welcome everybody at Skytook and Sepulpa tonight. You guys want to? Let's welcome everybody watching online tonight. Let's welcome Chris and Molly in here tonight. How about that, huh? But it's breaking things down. You know, I taught a message to the ASU football program about firing your coach, and because I thought it'd get some attention from, you know, keep their attention, but it doesn't mean they're fire their football coaches, but fire that coach that's in your head. Fire that coach that's telling you it's okay to think a certain way, it's okay to harbor toxic attitudes, and we all know that's wrong, but how do you do it? Tonight, five line by line, going note by note tonight. Number one, we do this simply by renewing our mind. And you know, it's interesting. In and of themselves, these points are going to be very basic. But tonight, when it comes together, it's going to be an epiphany for you. It's going to come, you're going to come and say, oh, wait a second. That's why I'm struggling financially. Oh, wait a second. This is why my health hasn't been very good. Where I can't receive my healing. You know, it's not that God's withholding it. You know, there's people say, man, are you in faith for your health? Yeah, I believe in God to heal me. Do you understand that's not faith? It's not believing God to heal you. What faith is God's already healed you. You just have to receive it. Okay? We have to understand that. By whose stripes you were healed. Okay? It's past tense. It's actually past perfect tense. All right? But by renewing our mind. And we all know Romans 12, 1 and 2. You've been in this church. If you've been in this church for 3 or 4 months, you've heard it 5 or 6 times. If you've been, Barry has heard this verse probably 200 times. Okay? But and verse 1 in Romans 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and don't be conformed to this world. Let's all read it together. Verse 2. Ready? Read. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That we prove it. Listen, the only way we can prove it is by renewing our mind. See, here's what we have to do. We've got to take our attitudes. We have to take our mindsets. We have to take our individual thoughts, and what we have to do is submerge it in God's word. We have to baptize it in God's promise. I believe the way God does anything is the way God does everything. And the way God does things is by baptizing. He baptizes us. Man, we become baptized in Jesus. We go to heaven. We become baptized in fire. We have a passion for God. We become baptized with the Holy Spirit. We have a boldness in our lives now. Why? Because God submerges us. We become baptized in water. And you know what that is? Man, we come into contact with the grave that Jesus suffered and then the resurrection that happened in his life. That's what water baptism is. Man, the Bible talks about us being baptized and then we're saved. That baptism isn't water baptism. That's religion. No, you know what? That we're immersed in Jesus. That's why we're saved. If we immerse our lives, we immerse our situations, immerse our circumstances in God's word, in God's promise, guess what? And I'm telling you, it's not just dunking them. No, you know what? It's submerging them till the bubbles quit coming up. And I'm telling you, that's how I live my life. That's how I get through it. Man, I'm telling you, the bottom line, you begin to submerge your circumstances in God's promise, guess what? The next time that circumstance pops its head up in your life, you'll be able to defeat it in just a couple seconds. Bitterness comes in contact with your heart about a situation. Man, if you haven't submerged your attitude and submerged your life in God's promise, that bitterness will take root. And you know what? That bitterness will end up choking the word in your life. See, we have to take control and then authority of our own hearts and our own lives. That's all we can control. Man, I can't control you. Paul says, beware. I don't want to control you. Paul said, beware of men who desire to be owners of men. Nobody wants to own you. But you know what? We do want you to get back control of your own life. Control of how you think, control of your attitudes, control of your words, your actions. Man, control of your own destiny. Man, God lays before you life and death. What does he say? Choose life. Take control of your life. So number one, we have to renew our minds. We have to be transformed. And what is that? See, us renewing our minds just doesn't give us positive thinking. It transforms us into the image of God's Son. You know, there's people who say, well, that was just the sovereignty of God. What, that I broke my arm? What, that I lost a loved one? What, that I wrecked my car? That's God's sovereignty? No, you know what? The one thing in the Word that is good, the sovereignty of God. And you'll say, well, Pastor, you don't believe in the sovereignty of God? Yes, I do. But I've got to base it on the Word and not what we've experienced. And if I base it on the word, the sovereignty of God is that I am transformed into the image of his Son. That's the sovereign will of God for all of our lives. I want to shake you. I want to just slap you around a little bit so that you wake up and realize that God's sovereign will in your life is transformation into the image of his Son. Everybody say the image of his Son. Say it again. Everybody didn't do it. Everybody in the room, everybody at Skytook, everybody at Sepulpa, say it. Go ahead. The image of his Son. Man, how do we have that kind of mindset? We have to submerge our life into God's promise. If not, guess what? Unforgiveness will pop up. Bitterness will pop up. And then you know what the next thing we're doing? Next thing, Tom, we're just hanging on. What are you doing? I'm just hanging on. Man, that's what my dad always said. Just hang on. Hang on. Friday's coming. No, let me just tell you something. We don't hang on for payday. You know what we do? We lay hold of that which has already laid hold of us. See, the great thing, the easy thing about my life, what I get to do, I preach home games a lot. This is the easiest and best place to preach on the planet because people are receptive. But let me just tell you, what's so great about being able to preach God's word is all I'm doing is throwing something out for you to latch hold of that's already latched hold of you. Most of you guys, this isn't the first time you've ever heard it, especially a simple message like this. Number two, out of your heart flows living water. See, notice it doesn't say your mind. It doesn't say out of your mind flows living water. See, some of you guys have got to get this out of your head. You know, it's interesting. We've started a rugby program, Gibb and Tyler Nafis and me, and there's this other boy from Bixby. I don't remember his name. I call him Choco, and every time I call him Choco, he gives me like a funny look. So I don't think is that his name, Gibb? I don't think that's his name, but it's stuck in my head, in my heart, so it's like that's his name now. But the thing here is that I said, listen, you got to get this out of your mind. You can't play the game. You can't play, Barry, you can't play hockey in your head. No, you know what? Once that game starts, it's got to come out of your head, and you've got to just react to what you see. Man, how does that NFL quarterback, how does that college quarterback, you know what? By the time his foot plants on that third step, man, that ball's coming out of his hands. Why? He's already made a pre-read. He already knows where he's going with the ball. And you'll say, well, why is he looking right? Because he wants to pull that free safety out of his position. And once he sees that free safety, he sees his hip. Man, he throws to that hip side. Guess what? Why? Because that's what he sees. Man, that ball comes out of his hand. Why? Because he's done that 1,000 times already. How does that guy make that one-headed catch? That's not the first time he's ever done it. See, that's why we've got to submerge ourselves in this. We've got to get it out of our head. You got to fire that coach that's telling you you can't do it. How many of you guys have ever had that feeling where it's like, nah, that's impossible, I can't do it. Can I see your hands? That's contrary to the word. The Bible says, with man it's impossible, but with God, finish it for me. All things are possible. Man, we got to get it out of our heads. Out of our hearts will flow living water. I think the King James even says, out of our belly will flow living water. Man, think about it. If you could get, what has God recreated? He's recreated, man, he's given you a recreated spirit. So now the combination of our heart and our mind becomes, the combination of our spirit and our mind becomes our heart. So now, listen, your mind can clog up your spirit because the combo of that is your heart. The Bible says out of your heart flows living water. Rivers of living water, multiple rivers. Jeremy, you grew up by a river, huh? Man, that river is going to go wherever the heck it wants to go, isn't it? Man, your dad just got 11 feet of water last winter. Last spring, a flood came in. And what happened? Man, it drenched everything. Why? You can't stop that river. Well, guess what? The enemy, your situation, your circumstances, the world around you, can't stop those rivers in you either. The only thing that can is your mind. The only thing that can is that coach up in your head that you need to fire that coach. No, you know what? We're here to win. And you know, let me just tell you something. Just like in pro sports, just like in college sports, man, let me tell you, you don't want to lose a few games in a row. Man, the NFL teams don't want to go on a losing streak. So the only way we can in our life, the only way we can, is you got to fire that coach that's been losing. Man, are there areas of your life that you're not winning? The Bible says everything you put your hand to will prosper. See, we've got to understand that. So what do we have to do? We've got to allow that word that we sow deep in our heart, that we bury in our heart. Man, God's spirit is receptive of God's word. Our minds have to be as receptive as our spirit is. So now our hearts are fertile. Man, the Bible talks about the soil of our heart. It's fertile. What does the word do? It hydrates it. So the word you're hearing tonight, it might come in seed form into your heart, but then it comes in water form to hydrate the other seed that's been sown there. What did Paul say? Paul said, I sowed, Apollos watered, but are you ready for this? God provides the increase. Write that down. God's a God of increase. Man, you're going to be so blessed this Sunday. Mike Hayes is coming in. He's preaching the law of first things, first fruits. Man, how first in your life dictates everything. Man, you start, you take your day and you submerge it in God's word. First thing, guess what? That's what you're going to get the rest of that day. Man, you start the day with a hangover, you're probably not going to have a good day. See, we've got to understand this. We start in God's word. Man, I make sure I'm on email lists of people that send God's word. I don't read it throughout the day. I just make sure when that phone comes on, and I'm telling you, I bought into those dadgum phones just like all of you have too. So what do? I build safeguards and boundaries on my phone. And what do? I hit that email first. What is it? It's a word. I've got some friends that produce devotions, and you know what? I hit that devotion. And you know what's amazing? I can hear Bayless Connolly's voice in that. I hear his vernacular. I hear how he talks. And you know what? There's my friend. I went to Bible school with him 38 years ago. Man, here he is. I hit that. I read that devotion. I read that word. And you know what? I get out of bed. And you know what? I've created this mindset that's going towards God's word. You hear me on this? Number three, we've got to preach the word in season and out of season. Now listen, I'm going to throw a little curve at you. It's what I'm doing right now to myself. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Listen, it isn't just me preaching to y'all. I got to preach to me. I got to preach to me whether I'm in the mood for it, whether I like it or not. No matter what's happened, I preach the word in season and out of season to myself. See, tonight what you're hearing, this isn't the first time this word's been sown in my heart. Can you tell? Man, if you're like, man, this is the first time I've ever read this. This is the first time I ever noticed this. No. Man, this word tonight is buried deep in my heart. Man, my mind has been submerged in this word 100 times, maybe 1,000 times. So I've got to preach this word in season and out of season, first of all to myself. Are you saying, wait a second, Pastor Billy, you saying, yes, I'm saying you got to preach to yourself. Man, you got to preach, man, you get up in a bad mood, you preach to yourself. Man, you get up in a bad mood, you fire the coach and you preach to yourself. Man, you hire a new coach and you know what his name? His name is Jehovah Lombardi. I just made that up. Number four, God's grace is sufficient every time, all the time, no matter what. The title of this message tonight is No Matter What. Man, here's what we've got to do. We've got to find God's grace. Why? Because God's grace, God, where's your grace? God, where are you? Man, this situation is terrible. This circumstance I'm in is dire. God, where are you? Let's try this out, okay? I did this from the time I was a Christian for 2 weeks. I'm in a situation, I'm like, I don't know what to do. This is new to me. God, where are you? God, where are you? What is that? What is that scripture, 2 Corinthians, where God will always provide an avenue of escape? You're in a temptation. How many guys ever get tempted? I didn't know what to do with temptation as a brand new Christian. The very first scripture I found on my own in the parking lot of the church, I'd been a Christian 1 week. In the parking lot of the church, I ran across this scripture that said, in every temptation, God will give you an avenue of escape. So I'm like, you're kidding me. Man, that night I end up at a party. The bong's coming around. It's coming to me. There's 2 or 3 people between me and that bong. And I'm thinking, my goodness, it's going to be on me in about 45 seconds. So you know what? What's interesting is that word popped up. An avenue of escape. I'm like this. And let me tell you, that hooch smelled good. That marijuana smelled really good. And I was convicted because it smelled good. I was wanting to condemn myself. It's like, man, I'm a Christian now. That can't smell as good as it does. Man, that next thing you know, it's one person for me. Next thing you know, I'm standing up like this and I'm looking like this. If someone would ask me, Shear, what are you doing? I'm fighting that avenue of escape. I'm looking like this. That bong comes to the person right next to me. Next thing you know, boom, there's that door. I'm out that dadgum door. Why? Because I defined that avenue of escape. You know what I began to learn? God, where are you? God, where are you in this? God, it doesn't seem like you're around anywhere. And it's not like we're playing hide and seek with God. It's that if I seek him, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to find him. So you get in this situation where the money isn't enough to pay the bills. God, where are you? God, where is Jehovah, my provider? God, where are you? Man, you get that diagnosis, those symptoms come true. And you know what? Your worst fear has come upon you, just like Job. And you're like, man, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? God, where are you? God, where are you in this diagnosis? God, where are you in these symptoms? God, where are you in my life? See, we've got to find God. Why? Because God's grace is always sufficient. What do we go to in time of need? We find God's grace in time of need. Man, we can come humbly yet boldly into the throne of grace. And what do? We come to that throne. What do we find in that throne? Come on, what are we going to find in that throne? We're going to find grace. We're going to find mercy. Mercy and grace in time of need. We come to that throne of grace. We find mercy and grace in that time of need. What are we going to find? Mercy and grace. What do you need in your life? Mercy and grace. Man, the last thing you want is justice. Man, otherwise your heart's going to be condemning you. You know what? We come to God. What do you cry? Guilty. Guilty as charged, God. I did it in my heart. Oh, you know what? I sentence you to mercy. I sentence you to my favor. You're like, wait a second, God, I don't deserve your mercy. I don't deserve it. No, you write this down. We don't get what we deserve. We get what Jesus won. God's grace is sufficient every time, all the time. No matter, would you write that down? Take a picture. Is it up there? Take a picture. Go back to the point. Take a picture of the point right there. Point number four, God's grace is sufficient every time, all the time, no matter what. Every time, all the time, no matter what. Say it with me. Every time, all the time, no matter what. If it applies to your life, stand and say it. Every time, all the time, no matter what. Say it again. Every time, all the time, no matter what. Say it again. Every time, all the time, no matter what. My grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness is made my perfect strength. That's a word of God for you today. Listen, let's go back to the point. God's grace is sufficient when?
Every time, all the time, no.
Say it again.
Every time, all the time.
See, this is how we submerge our lives into this. And the fifth verse, let me tell you, is life-changing. The fifth point. The fifth point tonight, everybody standing in Tulsa and Skytook and Sepulpa, point number five, we don't live by the situation of our life. We live by revelation. I don't care what that situation dictates. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to fire the coach of that situation. And I'm going to bring on, man, the Lord of the revelation. And see, God's going to give you revelation, and that revelation is personal power. That's what revelation of God's word is. That's my working definition of it. Man, you get a bad diagnosis. No. Forget yours. Your kid gets a bad diagnosis. You know what I say? Greater is he who's in me than he who's in that diagnosis. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in this situation, in this circumstance. Greater is he who's in me than the author of that dadgum sickness. Somebody come and say, well, you know what? Man, God put that sickness on your kid to teach you something. You know what you say? Devil, you're a liar. You find in the word where God puts a sickness on your kid to teach you something, and I'll buy into that. But you're not going to find that. You know God's heart. You know God's word. Let me tell you what God did. God framed the worlds by his word. And you know what the framing material of God's, God showed me this. I got revelation of this today or yesterday. He frames it not with wood, not with steel, not with nails, not with screws. He frames the word, he frames the world by his word. And you know what the framing material is? It's love. It's love. God frames us with his love. Is sickness, is that some kind of love all of a sudden? Is calamity God's love? Is your negative issues love? No, it's not. Is healing love? Yes. See, some of you guys, man, God, we could fix machines. We could fix car motors. We could fix toasters. We could fix wash machines. God heals people. We can't fix racism. God will heal that. Man, we can't fix calamity. God heals that. He brings healing to us. But you know what? We've got to open our hearts to that. How do we open our hearts to that? We take the situation, we take our lives, and we submerge our life in God's promise, in God's word. So we don't live from situation to situation anymore. We live by revelation. Man, God reveals himself to us in his word. And you'll think, well, yeah, but I don't know how to get it. You got to get in his word. You got to seek him. Man, you got to ask. God, show me in your word that you want to heal my wife. God, show me in your word that you want to take care of my kids. God, show me in your word that you want to take care of my finances. You know, God, it's not God's will for you to live month to month. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you guys are living paycheck to paycheck? Don't raise your hands. That's not God's will. Bible says, God, Deuteronomy 8:18, God gives you the power to get wealth to establish his covenant. Month to month doesn't establish his covenant. Month to month, listen, is the wilderness. You know, the best you can hope for if you're living month to month is to wander through life, hoping God's going to provide a miracle after a miracle after a miracle. Let me tell you what. It's not God's will for we as Christians to need miracles. Why? It's just life and life and life and life and life and life and life that God's given us. The entrance of his word brings light. And that light is the light of life. You got a little bit of death popping up in your life? You just shine God's light on it. The light of God's word. You know what it does? It fries it. Doubt will come up. You don't harbor that doubt. And you know what? The more you're reading God's word, the more you get God's the sea legs of God's word, the more you get the rhythm of God's word, the loop of what the world is offering gets shut down. Oh yeah, remember, it's not about me, God. It's all about you. It's all about you. What did we sing tonight? There's no equal. There's no rival. There's no equal. I'll tell you what, the lion of the heart of the lion of the tribe of Judah starts beating in my chest when I sing that part of the song. We skip the rest of that song. I don't even know what it is. Skip the rest of it. Let's just get to the good part. There's no rival. There's no equal. Cancer, no rival. Bankruptcy, no equal. That's a God that we serve. I said, that's a God that we serve. Lift your hands in all of our churches. Lift your hands tonight. Just say this: God, there's no rival. There's no equal. Baptize me in your power, in your fire, in your spirit. I baptize my heart in your word, God. And out of me will flow rivers of living water. The banks of this world can't hold this water back. God, I thank you. Your word will target what you've destined it to and will not return to you void of any power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.